Earth, sky.
There's bacteria down deep that can degrade oil, and they can do it even under these high pressure and low temperature conditions.
You're listening to microbial ecologist Terry Hazen of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. He says bacteria might be rapidly eating an undersea plume of oil formed in 2010 by the Gulf oil spill. Dr. Hazen and colleagues published research about this in the journal Science. He spoke more with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Hazen, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, what are the main findings of your study of bacteria that was discovered on the oil plume near the site of the Deepwater Horizon blowout, which spilled an estimated 180 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico? What did you find?
So what we found was that soon after we get out there on May 25th, we detected a signal for hydrocarbons, and this being oil, down deep at about 1,100 meters. And this extended out from the wellhead going to the southwest for at least 30 kilometers. This particular, and it's better defined it as a cloud instead of a plume, because it was very diffuse. So, in other words, very small droplets, 10 to 60 microns of oil. This was probably caused by the dispersant that they added at the wellhead, though it could have also been caused by the fact that it was being injected into the deep subsurface at of the ocean there at very high, of course, it's relatively high temperature when it comes out of the well, and very high pressure. At any rate, the concentrations in the plume, even though it was very large, in this cloud, was quite low. So we didn't see concentrations higher than any concentrations higher than about 10 parts per million. Most of the time, it was less than one part per million. So what we started doing is to see if there were microbes associated with this plume, because we suspected there might be. And so we started sampling in the plume and then above it and below it, and then we would go some distance away from where the plume was and take a control sample at the same depth. And we were doing a variety of molecular techniques. So we were looking, filtering water and doing multiple filters and looking at DNA, RNA, lipids, proteins, and then we were also taking live samples. So we were taking samples back to the laboratory to do culture work. And then we also took samples, of course, fixing them for various chemical assays that we wanted to do to relink the overall systems biology of, and it's basically the approach that we were taking. And what we found was that indeed there were microbes there, that sort of multiple lines of evidence that, in fact, the microbial community that was in the plume decreased in diversity and in species richness versus outside of the plume. So what became dominant is a couple of species that we knew could degrade oil. They have the enzymes for degrading oil, and we showed that there was a correlation between the enzymes that they had and their expression and the particular hydrocarbons that were present.
What do you think has happened to that oil cloud?
So some of the other investigators that were out there, and of course a week before our paper came out, the Woods Hole group came out with a very good study basically defining the plume and in terms of the oil hydrocarbons and that sort of thing, using some very sophisticated instrumentation. And they defined it very well. And basically, though sometimes the press was trying to portray those as being contradictory, they were really complementary. And while they saw low amounts of DO and then equated that to perhaps low biodegradation rates. But they weren't measuring using microbiological methods. So we were doing that directly and could see that, in fact, there were a lot of microbes there, and they could break down the oil. Their densities increased about 100 times from outside of the plume, so the densities were much higher. Now, we've been out there continuously, so a lot of other investigators were out there discontinuously and in parts of May and June and that sort of thing. We've been out there since May 25th, and we are still out there. So we've been collecting samples constantly. Now, what happened when the oil well was capped? On July 15th, so all the oil stopped leaking into the Gulf at that time. Within a little over 2 weeks, we saw the oil disappear. At least that deep plume we couldn't see. And, of course, at the surface, they were also reporting that that a lot of the oil had disappeared at the surface. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't components that were there. It also does not mean that there's going to be some long-term effects from this amount of oil being in the Gulf from April 20th to past July 15th, and plus there's going to be some components there. But in the last 3 to 4 weeks, we have not been able to detect, and we're going back to the same sites, this oil plume down deep. But we still can detect some of the bacteria, and we still detect a slight DO. Now, the reason for that is, we think, is what we call cryptic growth phenomenon. So once the bacteria have grown up and the oil became a carbon source for them, they, in fact, and reach fairly high densities. Even once the oil is withdrawn, they basically start to die back then. But what happens is that the dead bugs become food for any bugs that are living, and so they become basically a nutrient source. And so it goes through a cycle, and it takes a while for all that carbon to be lost from the system again. And that's sort of what we're seeing. So we see the DOs still going down a little bit in some of those areas, but we can no longer detect the oil. Now, we've gone around the wellhead and went out, and the last samples we took here just 3-4 days ago, we had gone out 300 kilometers and still had not been able to detect the plume in any concentrations that were similar to anything that we saw. So basically undetectable by the techniques we were using.
You've been listening to Terry Hazen, head of the Ecology Department at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.